again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. My, the time is flying. We're hastening toward a holiday for the world, but a holy day for the Church of Jesus Christ, Christmas. What it means from heaven's point of view, from heaven's perspective. And we're going to be talking about winning this battle with the devil today, overcoming an adversary, and what that birth meant to our victory today. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be on the winning side of this thing, even though it may look like sometimes that our enemy is making great strides. I want you to know that Jesus is Lord, and there is victory in Him today. And the birth of this little baby child in a little town called Bethlehem signaled that the end was coming for the enemy of all mankind. Satan's days became numbered from that day forward. A prophecy was fulfilled that a woman would bring forth a man-child, that the devil would bruise his heel, but he would bruise the devil's head. So I can't wait to get into this message because I love to declare from the Bible, from the Scriptures, the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ, a victory that even death can't conquer. Hallelujah. So you please stay tuned today. Don't turn that dial now. We want you to get this message down in your spirit if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian today, would you be our guest? Would you listen to this broadcast and get an understanding, a deeper understanding of the true meaning, the ramifications, reverberations of this event of a child being born in a manger, and the stir that it caused then, and the stir that it's causing now. Because he didn't stay in the manger, friend. He grew to a man of 30 years of age, began his public ministry, preached for 3 short years, and taught and worked miracles, and then went to the cross at 33 and laid down his life, and suffered and died, that our sins might be forgiven, that the enemy of our soul might be conquered and vanquished, and that we might be saved. Ah, friend, this is a great holy day for the church that is coming up to celebrate a mighty victory over the enemy. Praise God. So I want you to stay tuned as we talk today about Christmas from heaven's perspective. Before we go to the Word of God, to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we read these verses, I would like to invite you to visit our website. If you would type in Pastor Robert Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E, it would take you to our website, the Holy Church of God Incorporated, or just the initials of the church organization, T-H-C-O-G. On Google, with a good search engine like Google, it will take you to our website. There are sermons there and some of the recent issues of Let's Talk About Jesus. They're downloadable for free. We want the Word of God to get out, and we're always happy when people come there and download messages from the Bible, from the Word of God, live services where the anointing of the Lord is present. And we've had hits. People come to our website so far from Borneo, from the UK, United Kingdom, from Australia, Canada, West Virginia. I mean, the list goes on in the United States and in the different continents around the world. It's an amazing to be connected to the World Wide Web and have the Holy Spirit just send God's Word where He wants it to go. And we are especially appreciative of you there in Madison in North Florida that are allowing us to be part of your devotional life there. We're happy and privileged and honored to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF, your hometown family-friendly radio station. We don't have anything like this station here in Tampa. They're just, you know, a lot of rubber stamp stations, cookie cutter stations. They sound alike. They play the top 40, whatever. But there's no classic gospel, no classic country music here in the Tampa area. And quite a few people here in Tampa are plugging in to WMAF by computer as it streams, and I'm glad for that. And the classic preaching, I might add. We're old school. We preach from the Bible. Praise God. That is the book where we bring forth God's truth. And we're going to do it again today and pray that this Christmas is not just a Merry Christmas, but a mighty victorious Christmas in Jesus Christ, in your home, your life, your family. If you're not a Christian, please, again, be our guest. Stay tuned. See what this birth was all about and why this baby born to a carpenter's wife, this virgin-born baby, caused such a stir in that day and is still causing such a stir in the postmodern world. Praise God. Amen. If you don't believe there's a devil, one great preacher said, just try opposing him sometime. If there's anything that upsets the enemy of your soul and ours, it is that Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin in a little town called Bethlehem, and he went to the cross and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, that we might be saved. Satan really hates that message. He even hates Christmas carols that talk about the little town of Bethlehem. He hates everything to do with it. He even hates the wrapping paper that reminds him again and reminds mankind something happened that has been marked in history and is still, after all of these centuries, today causing such a stir in the school systems everywhere you turn. This baby's birth made the enemy very upset and angry. You want to know why and what's going on? Stay tuned today, because we're going to talk about Christmas again from heaven's perspective. I'm going to go directly to the book of Revelation chapter 12 and see how this appeared as God viewed it from heaven and as John saw it. Listen to this. Revelation 12, beginning with verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Did you know what Herod did when he heard a new king was good? He thought it was a political thing. He was threatened in his political life, and he wanted the firstborn 2 years of age and under to be slain, to make sure that he killed this child. Behind his activity was another entity, another being, the devil, who knew the ancient prophecy from Genesis that he seemed to get a little bit of a victory over mankind and over God himself. It seemed in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve chose to listen to him instead of God. But the prophecy said, even out of Genesis, that a woman would bring forth a man-child, and Satan would indeed bruise his heel. In other words, the wound he would inflict would not be ultimately deadly, but he would bruise with his heel the enemy's head. Actually, with that bruised heel, he would bruise the deadly wound of the enemy's head. And Satan has fought the seed of the woman and the woman that brought forth the man-child down through history. Ancient Israel of old, and even the New Testament church, which became spiritual Israel, in the new covenant. That make no mistake about it, Satan hates those that bring forth the message of salvation that centers in this man, Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. The identity of this woman, we believe, is very, very clear here. Because it said in verse 6, the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation is going to be intense persecution against Christians and against the nation of Israel. When they discover, prophetically written, that they will discover that the one they trusted in, the Antichrist, is really of the enemy, of the devil. And when he demands to be worshipped, there will be a revolt. And the Bible says that they will have to flee to a hiding place to keep from being annihilated and destroyed. And God is going to keep Israel during that time of great trouble and great persecution. None of these verses can be applied directly to the Virgin Mary, but to ancient Israel, collective Israel, and the Church of Jesus Christ. I believe spiritual Israel is involved in the persecution and the hatred that we see, the angst and anger that is created when the name of Jesus is mentioned. Even the Christ part of Christmas is something that the world and our own culture in America has a terrible aversion to. The manger scene in the town square is causing great controversy. It did here in Tampa. I'm sure it does in other cities around the United States. And I'm sure in the news broadcast, you're going to hear the controversy over singing a Christmas carol that we have sung from the inception of this nation. To be sung in a public school now, or played in a public school, is causing great stir and great controversy. One thing is for sure, and that is that we established last week, the child here that is causing this stir and stirring up this anger and hatred is Jesus. It's a reference to Jesus, God's Son. By mentioning Jesus' birth and ascension together, I'm going to restate this. John is presenting the life of Christ as a comprehensive work. Hallelujah. Verse 5 said, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Praise the Lord. The birth of Jesus brought to the world, to the earth, its rightful ruler. Jesus isn't just King of the Jews. He's King of Kings. And he is Lord of Lords and the rightful ruler of the entire earth. Only Christ can truly shepherd the nations and rule righteously with a rod of iron or absolute authority. We now live in a planet, as we said last week, in rebellion that refuses God's rightful rule. But the birth of this child was the beginning of the end for the devil and his followers. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad today, if you're a Christian, to have already bowed your knee to Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior? The Scripture said that persecution is going to come. All those that live godly are going to suffer persecution. Friend, it's not just coming, it's here. The Scripture says that if we suffer with Christ, though, we will also reign with Him. Revelation 2:26-27 says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. As sure as Jesus is the man-child, the dragon is Satan. I like what the biblical truth and accuracy that Eugene Peterson notes. This is not, he says, the nativity story we grew up with. Jesus' birth excites more than wonder. It excites evil. The birth of Jesus was the launch of God's assault on the power of evil. Look with me at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That explains with Scripture the Scripture that said the dragon drew a third of the stars out of heaven with his tail, and they were cast into the earth. We know that's not literal stars, because the earth, one of the smallest stars in our solar system is the sun. And if the sun was cast, just one star was cast to the earth, it would obliterate it completely. Someone said if the sun was hollow, you could put thousands of earths on the inside of it. And that's one of the small stars. We're talking about the angels that followed Satan, the great red dragon, in rebellion in heaven, were cast out with him. I love the absolute authority of Scripture. There is no room for doubt or speculation. The enemy is defeated, not only in that battle, but in every battle that since then, because of that great victory. And the victory at the cross wasn't for God to overcome the devil. He already did. The victory is at the cross through the shed blood of Jesus, friend, is so you and I can overcome him. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are caught up in all of the victory as children of God. We are caught up in all of the victory that Jesus' blood achieved at Calvary. The devil is conquered, and Jesus is Lord. And for sure, these are certainties. We as believers share his triumph and his victory. Just listen to Colossians 2:12 through 15. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or given life together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It being, friend, the cross. I love how specific the Amplified interprets this verse. It said, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us, and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. No wonder Paul, knowing that this is the foundation for all our victory, praise God, said, I don't want to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. The Bible actually teaches there are those that would rise up that would be enemies of the cross. They would actually come against everything that God did so wonderfully, powerfully to save us at the cross, and fight against it angrily, vehemently. But the cross still stands as the emblem of salvation to this very day. Because on that cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, laid down His life so that we could be forgiven. So that the handwriting of ordinances against us might be blotted out. There's an accuser of the brethren called Satan, but he cannot accuse us when our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're listening to this broadcast and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you feel that you've sinned too much, that God could never possibly forgive you, you just don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse. Oh, friend of mine, the blood of Jesus will wash you whiter than the snow today. You're not worthy of heaven. I'm not worthy of heaven. Billy Graham clearly stated he's not worthy of heaven. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. This comes as the gift of God. And the reason God can give us this gift freely, set apart from the works that would merit this blessing. I'm not saying that we don't live a Christian life after we're saved. I'm saying nothing we can do can save us in and of itself and make us worthy of Him or heaven. But what Jesus did make us worthy. We're not worthy of the blood. That's why I love Him so much. I don't merit this kind of love and acceptance and this kind of sacrifice. But friend, I will boldly say, according to the Word of God, we are worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for His cross and the victory that was won over Satan at the cross. Praise the Lord. There was war in heaven and God won it. And then that battle ensued for men's souls upon the earth. And God won it again. And He won it through this baby that was born, this helpless child that was born in a manger in Bethlehem, who would grow to this is the man-child that a woman would bring forth that would bruise the serpent's head. Herod thought killing every child 2 years of age and under would eliminate his problem and assure his continued political success as a king. What he didn't realize that behind all of this, there was a force prompting him to do that, to fill him with the fear of being overthrown, that a new king might be born, and make him think it was just a political situation when in reality this was a spiritual thing happening that the enemy had dreaded, feared, and fought for all of these centuries. He knew God's word is true. A man-child is going to be born. A child is going to be born of a woman that is going to inflict the deadly wound upon his head. Satan is under that penalty. That fate awaits him. In fact, the book of Revelation says that woe unto the inhabitants of the earth during that time when he has a little space to do whatever he's going to do. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down to you having great wrath, for he knows that he has but a short time. Friend of mine, as Christians, we only have a short time to work to. We're living in the last of the last days. And the Bible said we are to work while it is day, while it is light, for the night cometh when no man shall work. Friend, now is the time to declare our victory over the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and verse 58. The preceding verses set up the text of verse 57 and 58. And it says that death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to look this opposer, this a fighter of righteousness, this withstander of truth, this one who comes against us with such anger and such angst and such force. We need to stand our ground and declare Jesus has defeated you in heaven. And God has defeated you in heaven, and Jesus has defeated you at the cross. And we stand in this finished work of Jesus. We stand in this victory that has already been won. And we stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because what we do for Christ is never in vain. I've served the Lord long enough. I've been a pastor for going on 36 years of the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa. I pastored a year before I came to Tampa. That's 37 years in the pastorate. And I can tell you the devil don't like me. And I can tell you I've fought many battles with him. And I'm telling you the battle still rages. But I can tell you today, looking back on those 37 years, amen, because of Jesus, those battles have been won. Hallelujah. There is victory in Jesus today. Amen. I want to read a scripture from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And let's read this together. Listen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, there's more to this than just a baby in a manger and a king that his kingdom was threatened. This was the fulfillment of the ancient prophecy. This was the beginning of the end for the devil. Hallelujah. It's not over yet, but it's going to be over very, very soon. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Praise God. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Having done all, stand. I looked at that a little closer, the way it's worded in the actual Greek. It means having overcome all, stand. We're not putting on this armor to see if we can get the victory. We're putting on this armor to stand in a victory that is already achieved at the cross. Hallelujah. We're putting on this armor to declare a victory that is already won for us. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory. Jesus didn't defeat the devil at Calvary for his sake. He defeated him for our sake, so that we could live in victory and we could have eternal life in spite of the Lord of Death's desire to destroy us today. Friend, if you don't know Jesus today, there's a battle going on right now for your eternal soul. Satan will push against you coming to Jesus. And all you have to do is will to receive Him. And all the powers that defeated Him in heaven, and all the powers that defeated Him at the cross, will push back. And when they do, you can come out of His prison house and you can be set free. You may have believed His lie that you could never be saved, you could never be a Christian, you could never follow Christ. Remember, Satan is a liar. That's his real power, because he's been divested of any authority to hold you. God has sent a Savior for you, and His name is Jesus. If you're a Christian today and you're having a battle with the enemy and it looked like he's going to win that battle, you need to declare your victory in Jesus Christ today. That old dragon has been cast down. He has been defeated. Jesus said, I saw him as lightning fall from heaven. Praise God. Well, friend, our time is gone. I was just getting wound up here. Why don't you come back next week? This is a real Christmas message. And let's talk about Jesus. We love you today. God bless you. Until next week, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable saying, come back and let's talk about Jesus Christ.